To sit here with our brothers and sisters in Christ singing praises of glory and honor to our King Most High, it certainly is an honor to have this privilege to worship our God. If you'd like to turn over to Luke chapter 12 with me, we'll begin our study in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, Jesus is found instructing the multitudes. He is found instructing the multitudes, and he warns the multitudes about a certain people, the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples first of all," and Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Jesus warned his disciples. He warned his disciples about the Pharisees, and he said there is a certain danger among the Pharisees. There is a certain problem with the Pharisees that you must understand. You must understand the danger of the Pharisees. And what is that danger? He says the danger is hypocrisy. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, for that leaven is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is something that is often criticized, but it seems to be rarely addressed. But we can be certain that hypocrisy is always dangerous. In whatever form it may come about, hypocrisy is always dangerous. While it is often alluded to, the research while I was studying for this sermon, I looked at other sermons that people had done, and hypocrisy is often alluded to in sermons. But it seems to be rarely addressed in full. It's rarely a topic that is spoken about in depth. However, Jesus spoke about this topic frequently. He often spoke of hypocrisy and the danger that it brought. And I wonder sometimes why we don't talk about it as much as maybe other topics that we come across. Maybe it's that it hits closer to home for some of us. I know it certainly does for me. But what is hypocrisy? As we start to discover what this problem is that Jesus spoke of, what is hypocrisy? Well, if we look at a simple English dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary describes hypocrisy. It defines it in this way: the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. To practice something or to claim to practice something, but not to act that way in our lives. To act contrary to what we say we hold to. The Greek word that we find often translated hypocrisy in our Bibles is hypokrisis. And the definition of this Greek word is to reply or to answer. Or another definition is playing a part on a stage. You get this image of a play actor, one who portrays a part on a stage. He says he's one thing, but in his real life, he's something completely different. At the very foundation of what a hypocrite is, it's a liar. Someone who does not live the life he says he lives. It's someone who plays the part when in reality he is something else. And as I put on the screen here, hypocrisy is really, it's a lie. The hypocrite is a liar. And when we claim to be something that we are not, especially as we'll find when we claim to be Christians and we are not, that indeed is the ultimate lie that we can produce. So what do we find in the scriptures about hypocrisy? Well, it's very clear from the beginning of scriptures that God hates hypocrisy. God abhors liars. We see that in the Old Testament. If you turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Begin reading with me in verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.'" We see here as Satan tempts Eve to commit the first sin, in this world, he uses a lie. He pretends like God is not going to kill you. He says, God will surely not kill you. Of course, Eve knew the truth. Eve knew that God would kill her. Notice verses 13 and 15, though. Begin reading with me in verse 14. Verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The woman said, "The serpent lied to me, and I ate." But look at what he says in verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, because you have deceived Eve, because you lied, because you've done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life." You see, God cursed Satan because he lied. God cursed the serpent because he deceived. God hates lies. God abhors hypocrisy. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. As God is giving the law to the people of Israel, he says this in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." He says, "You shall not bear false witness. You shall not speak lies against your neighbor to bring him down." God abhors lies. A few chapters over in chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Chapter 23 and verse 1. This is what the law of Moses says. "You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside a multitude in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute." Let's get down to verse 6 with me. "You shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in his dispute. Keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent of the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty." Here we have laws concerning the courts in Israel. And he says, don't be a false witness. Don't gather yourselves with people in order to bring someone down. Don't lie. God hates lies. God hates those who say they are one thing, but turn and do another. Turn over to the prophet Isaiah with me. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. The Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." He says these people, they draw near to me with their words, but it's lip service. They don't mean it. He says they're hypocrites, they're liars, they're not really worshiping in the way that they should. And he says that he dislikes that. God hates hypocrisy. Perhaps the summation of God's feelings about hypocrisy can be found in Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. This is the summation of God's feelings on lies and on the hypocrite. He says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." God hates lies. God hates those who lie, but those who deal faithfully are a delight to the Lord. And as we turn to the New Testament, we see the same thing. We see it over and over. God hates lies, even in the New Testament. Jesus encountered many hypocrites throughout his life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, if you will. As we work our way through the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees and the scribes come to him and they ask him, why don't your disciples wash their hands? And their motives were to trap Jesus. They didn't really care about the hand washing. They didn't care about the cleanliness. They were hypocrites. They were deceiving to try and trap Jesus. Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to him again, asking if it's lawful to pay taxes. But he says, "You hypocrites, you're doing this to trick me. You're not doing this because you care about the law." They acted as if they cared about the answers. They acted as if they really were trying to understand the law. But what they were really trying to do was to trap Jesus. They were doing so deceptively. They were lying. And as we come to Matthew chapter 23, it's no wonder that Jesus turns around and gives this enormous speech on hypocrisy, where we find these woes to the hypocrites, woes to the Pharisees. He says in verse 13, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte. When he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." We see over and over, Jesus says, woe to the hypocrite. God hates liars. God hates hypocrisy. Jesus encountered the hypocrites, and he told them that the hypocrisy was unacceptable. The hypocrisy could not stand up. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 5. Here in the early days of the church, we find hypocrisy condemned again by God. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 1. "But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With his wife's full knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Well, it remained unsold. Did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up. And after carrying him out, they buried him." So we find Ananias and Sapphira, who was punished for his deception. He was put to death because he lied to God. God hates lies. God hates deception. God punishes deception. Turn with me one more passage, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. I think we find in this chapter, in this verse, why God hates hypocrisy, why God hates liars. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus described himself as truth. Jesus is truth. Everything about Jesus' life, Jesus lives the truth. Jesus cannot live lies. Jesus, God cannot be among lies. God abhors lies because he is the very essence of truth. Jesus is the truth. But what we find as we read through scriptures, not only does God hate hypocrisy, but God will punish hypocrisy. God punishes those who lie. Just as he punished Satan in Genesis chapter 3 with the curse. Just as he punished Ananias in Acts chapter 5. Just as he punished Israel in Isaiah chapter 29. If you wouldn't turn back over to Isaiah chapter 29, we read this earlier. But Isaiah chapter 29, begin reading with me again in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. "Then the Lord said, 'Because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place. And they say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? That what is made would say to its maker, 'He did not make me,' or what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He has no understanding.'" So we see Israel dealt hypocritically with the Lord. They lied. They deceived the Lord, or attempted to deceive the Lord. But God punished them. He says, I will act marvelously with this people. I will punish them. I will bring my wondrous actions upon them. Turn over to Proverbs 19 with me. Proverbs 19 and verse 9. God will punish those who lie. God will punish those who act hypocritically. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. So here the proverb writer assures us, the liar, the hypocrite, will not go unpunished. He will not get away with his lies. He will not get away with his deception. The same we see in Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. The one who lies, the one who deceives, is mentioned among those with great sin. And they are the ones who will be destroyed eternally in the flames of fire. They are the ones who will be punished. God will punish liars. God promises punishment for those who deceive, for the hypocrites. But the question I ask, the question we should ask, is there hypocrisy among us? Is there even those who would deceive among our own number? Turn with me to the prophecy of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah was a contemporary with Jeremiah. If I can find the book. Zephaniah prophesied during that time period when Jerusalem was on its downfall. Jerusalem was caving to the Babylonian pressure. Zephaniah witnessed the downfall of Jerusalem along with Jeremiah. And while he prophesied that Judah would fall, he also prophesied of a coming remnant. He prophesied of a remnant that would come into place. And while we understand that a physical remnant did return from captivity, a physical remnant did re-enter Israel, we understand also that we are the spiritual remnant. We are the spiritual remnant of Israel that has come to be. Paul argues in Romans about this, how we have become the spiritual remnant of Israel. And so this prophecy in Zephaniah chapter 3 certainly applies to us as well. But look at what he says about this remnant of Israel that will return. Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. He says, "But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble." So Zephaniah prophesies. He says there will be a coming remnant. There will be a remnant of Israel, and I believe a spiritual remnant that we are. A spiritual remnant of Israel will come, and they will have nothing to do with lies. They will have nothing to do with deception. The remnant of Israel, the Christians, will not do wrong by telling lies. How great that is, that we are a part of a people who don't sin in that way. We are a part of people who don't engage in lies and hypocrisy. However, the Bible warns us about hypocrisy. We are warned that hypocrisy will come. Turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul warns the Corinthians that there will be people who come in and lie, that there will be people who come in hypocritically into the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning in verse 13. "For such men are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." But Paul warns of the false apostles. He says there will be people who come in and they will make themselves look like apostles. They will make themselves look like they belong there. They will be the play actor. They will put on a face, but they are not truly what they say to be. They are trying only to deceive. He makes a similar warning in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, Paul writes the young preacher, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth." So he warns Titus here. He says, don't be deceived. There will be those who come in. He says they are liars. They're coming in to deceive you. Beware of the hypocrisy that can come in to the church. But that's not all. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, Paul meets with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And what seems to be Paul anticipating is his last meeting with these elders, this beloved church that he had helped so much. And in Acts chapter 20, he gives the elders a final warning. Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul warns them. He says, beware, there will be people who come in, but he goes beyond that. He says, there will be people who come from among you. There will be those who arise from among your own number. And they are hypocrites. They are liars. They are deceiving you. Beware of them. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul again warns a young preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branded iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstinence from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. He says, beware, in later times, there will be some who will fall away from the faith. That implies that they once had the faith. These are people who were once Christians and they fall away into hypocrisy, into lies. He says, beware of hypocrisy. It can happen. We need to be warned of this. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses of 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So Peter again warns, hypocrites will come in, they will come from among your own number, and they will be destructive, he says. He speaks about the destruction of those who would tell lies, the destruction that they can have within the church. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Paul warns us to keep an eye out for those who would deceive in Romans chapter 16. Paul says that we need to be on the alert. We need to keep ready. We need to be aware that there can be these people who can come in and deceive and who can act hypocritically. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17. He says, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Paul says, beware of them. They will come in. Keep an eye out for them. But I wonder sometimes if we spend too much time keeping an eye on others, keeping an eye out for hypocrisy among the church, perhaps we should be less concerned with finding hypocrisy. Perhaps we should be more concerned with preventing ourselves from becoming the hypocrite. Paul warns us, keep an eye out for the hypocrite. We need to keep an eye out that we don't become the hypocrite. We need to understand that Christians can become hypocrites. And how? How can this happen that Christians become hypocrites? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all in all. Claiming to have put on Christ, but not living so that we belong to him. That is how Christians become hypocrites. Paul tells the Colossians, you have put on Christ. Don't lie. You've put that away. But if we claim to have put on Christ, to be clothed in Christ, to have changed our life, and yet we still belong to the world, we still belong to that old man, that's how Christians can become hypocrites. We are to consider our earthly members put to death. We no longer live for the earthly flesh, the earthly appetites. However, if we still live to please our flesh, if we still live in that way, we have become the hypocrite. We have become the liar. And like Paul said, we need to keep an eye out that we do not become that liar. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaks in the Sermon on the Mount about those on the day of judgment who would come to him and cry to him. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How do Christians become hypocrites? By claiming Christ as our Lord, by claiming Christ is our master, but not submitting to his rule. We become hypocrites. We become two-faced. We are like the play actor. We say that Christ is our master. We say that he's our Lord, but we don't follow his commands. We don't live up to his standards. We may come to church, we may pray, we may sing, we may call Christ our Lord, but if we live our lives contrary to his command, we are living a lie. We are living in hypocrisy. Perhaps we need to take Jesus' comments in Matthew chapter 6 a little bit more seriously. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that you may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Why do we go to church? Why do we pray? Why do we give to the poor? Is it to be seen of men? Is it to keep status quo among our friends in the church? If that's what it's for, then it's for the wrong reasons. We don't need to be hypocritical. We don't need to be lying. If we go throughout life playing the Christian role, if we go throughout our life acting as if we're a Christian, if we do that for any other reason, if we play the Christian for any other reason than that God has commanded it. If we are a Christian for any selfish desire, then the words of the Lord in Matthew chapter 6 should pierce us. It should come through and we should see that we should not live in such a way. So then how do we correct hypocrisy in our lives? How do we get past hypocrisy? Well, sincerity. is the opposite of hypocrisy. Sincerity is the exact opposite of what the hypocrite is. The hypocrite lies. The hypocrite puts on a show. Sincerity, the one who is sincere, does not put on a show. He is not one who lies, but he is one who demonstrates truth in his life. The definition of sincere, as we define the Greek word that is translated in our text, it is to be found pure when unfolded and examined by the sun's light. In the ancient world, flawed pottery, you know, when you went to go buy a piece of pottery in the ancient world, there was really only one way to cover up flawed pottery. And what they would do if there was a crack in the pottery is they would cover it through with wax, and then they would paint over it. And to the naked eye, nobody could tell that it was flawed. But there was one way to tell if a piece of pottery was not what it said it was. There was one way to tell if a piece of pottery was in fact flawed, and that was by holding it up to the sun. And if you looked at the pottery in the sun, all the flaws came through. The cracks, the weak spots in the pottery came through. The sunlight would shine through, revealing any weakness in the pot. And a pot and his master passing this test would rightly be called in the ancient world sincere. He was a sincere pottery. It was a sincere pot, one that was truthful when examined in the light. And turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Look at what it says about Christians. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. No, I'm going to read the right chapter. Chapter 1, verse 5. I'm sorry about that. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We see that Christians are called to walk in the light. We are to walk a sincere life. If we hold our life up in the light of the sun, if we walk in the light, will we be found flawed, or will we be found perfect, sinless, cleansed by the blood of Christ? By walking in the light, we become sincere. By walking in the light, we cannot be hypocritical. We cannot lie, because everything is laid open before God. There are no flaws that we can hide. We cannot lie when we are examined in the light of Christ. Christians must walk in the light. Christians must walk a sincere life. But why? Why do we walk in a sincere life? Love. Love motivates a life of sincerity. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Why do we walk in sincerity? Why do we speak the truth? Why don't we deceive? Because love. Speak the truth in love. If we have love for our brethren, if we have love for God, we won't deceive. We speak the truth because we love each other. Skip down and read with me verse 25, though. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are members of one another. We are a body together. We ought to have that love for one another. We ought not to deceive one another. We ought not to act hypocritically, but have love for each other, because we are members of the same body. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul says, abound in love, become sincere. This is Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And certainly it's his prayer for all Christians of all times. It's his prayer for us, that we be sincere, that we act in love, that we don't act hypocritically, lying, deceiving one another, but that we become sincere. But it's important to understand that being sincere means that we must change. If all of our flaws are laid open under the light of Christ, if all of our flaws are laid open to God, we must make changes in our life. The pot that has the flaws, the pot that is seen through with the light, it is not a sincere pot until it is seen through with the light. And once it is seen through, it must make changes. It cannot be bought at full price. It must change. Living a sincere life means that we won't be able to hide our lies, means that we won't be able to hide our hypocrisy. We won't be able to get by living like the world if we live a truly sincere life. It goes beyond coming to church. It goes beyond even praying. But sincerity reflects every aspect of our life. What we eat, what we drink, what we listen to on the radio, what we watch in the movies, the games that we play, where we go. It reflects everything in our life. Everything comes to light under the light of Christ. If we are truly walking in the light, there will be no part of our life that is left in darkness. Will we live the sincere life that Christ has called us to live? Do we live the lives that we outwardly profess? Do we live those lives that we claim we live? We say we are Christians. Do we live as Christians live? Or do we live lies to be seen by men? Do we live in hypocrisy, playing the role of the Christian? Well, as we've seen today, God hates lies. God hates hypocrisy. And hypocrisy will not go unpunished by God. But hypocrisy is a real danger, even among the church. Hypocrisy can come into the church. Hypocrisy can come from among the church. Hypocrisy isn't something just to look out for, but it's something that we need to actively guard against in our own lives. We need to make sure that we don't become the hypocrite that comes from among the church. We must be sincere. We must live lives of sincerity. So I ask, who are you? Who are you? Are you the Christian you claim to be? Or are you living a life of hypocrisy? Are you called out of darkness into His marvelous light? Examined, everything laid open before Christ? Or are you pretending? Do you walk out of this building and act just like the world? Do you watch what the world watches? Do you wear what the world wears? Do you go where the world goes? How long can we claim to be Christians and live as if we're part of the world? How long can we keep that up? To live such a life of hypocrisy is to live a lie. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 12, where we started our lesson this morning. Luke chapter 12, you remember Jesus is warning them about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But look at what he says in verse 2. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. How long can we keep up living a life of hypocrisy? We can't. Everything will come to light. Everything one day will be examined under the light of Christ. Start living that life now. Live in sincerity. Live a life that is not a lie. Live in the light of Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you this day, to make your life right, if you're living in sin and you need the prayers of the saints, we would love for you to come forward and let us help you in that. If you need to come, if you've lived your whole life in darkness and you've not yet entered the light of Christ, come, be saved, be baptized for the remission of your sins, as we have example in the New Testament. Whatever we can do to help, we ask that you come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.